It's good to be at church, am I right? Yeah. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for all that you have for us here tonight. Thank you that we're here. We're open. We're ready. We're ready to hear from you. We're ready to receive from you. Father, we yield ourselves to you tonight. Right now, Father, I yield myself to you. Speak through me. Share through me what you want to say to these people tonight. Whatever you have for them, whatever plans, whatever encouragement they need, whatever wisdom they need, I thank you for wisdom beyond me, but your wisdom flowing through me, your words flowing through me, that you have words for every single person in here tonight, and that people are being touched and impacted and changed by the power that comes from you, that can only come from you. Pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, I have grown up my whole life as a pastor's kid. I've been going to church ever since I can remember, and even longer than I can remember. I've been in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Sunday, every Wednesday. And you would think all my siblings too, they've gone through the whole ordeal too. Every single week here at church, every single week here at church, we've had godly parents. As godly as parents can be. They've encouraged us to seek after the Lord. They've brought us up in the ways of the Word. Amen. So you would think that we live in a household full of saints at the Judd household. But that is not the case at all. I am the youngest of four children. And as the youngest, some things naturally come with that. Naturally, I'm the favorite child. Naturally, really, I get all the best benefits. My parents will be the first person to tell you. They got all their bad parenting out of the way for the first three kids, and they saved the best for me. So I got the best deal, really, in the whole family. But one thing that really, as a child, I struggled with is I had really bad temper problems. I had really bad anger problems. And it was really easy for me to get provoked. So, like, something would just set me off, just tones of people would set me off, and I would get angry. Because I felt like the baby of the family, so I would act as the baby. And I acted as a baby for a long time. But my brothers and sisters, the little devils that they were, they used to torment me. Now, it wasn't anything bad, but in my mind, it was the worst. And here is the one story that really shows you how despicable they really are. And I'm going to share it with you today. So I must have been seven years old at the time. And I don't remember what we were watching, but we saw something on TV where a baby was left on the doorstep of a home, and then people took it in and took care of it, okay? So we saw this on the TV, and we were all talking about it. I don't remember how the whole conversation went. But by the end of the conversation, my three older siblings had convinced me that my mom and dad found me in a trash can in a parking lot of some store. And I said, what? Are you serious? And at first, I didn't believe them. At first, I was saying, this is nonsense. This is foolishness. There's no way I was found in a trash can. And all of them kept the story up. They kept the story up. So by the end of that, I was crying. I'm weeping. I'm not part of the family. I'm not a Judd. Who am I? I don't know who I am. I'm having a huge identity crisis at the age of 7 years old. You know, I'm freaking out. I'm panicking. And they didn't offer me any relief. They're probably giggling over to the side by themselves. I went upstairs to my room, and I was just thinking, what am I going to do with my life? Who am I? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Why did these people take me in? What does this mean? So I'm asking all these deep, provoking questions. And then my parents get home, and I confront them. And I say, you guys have lied to me all my life. How could you? How could you? Thanks for taking me in. Yes, thank you. I'm gracious. I'm thankful for that. But why did you lie to me? And I'm getting all flustered. I'm not being articulate as I'm being now. I'm probably not even making sense. I'm crying. I'm sobbing. And my mom and dad take me into my dad's office. And they said, what is going on now? And I said, you guys found me in a trash can. And they say, what are you talking about? That is an absolute lie. And I say, no, Matty, Molly, Harry, they've been telling me this all day. I was found in a trash can. That is who I am. I'm John Doe out there in the trash can, and you guys found me. And they say, no, Grayson, it's not. And I said, I need some proof or something. I don't remember what I said, honestly. But all I remember is my daddy brought me my birth certificate from his files. He brought me my birth certificate, showed it to me, and it said, Grayson Matthew Judd, May 28th, 1997, parents, Matt and Susie Judd. And it was confirmed that, yes, I was not found in a trash can. But this is a really excellent picture of deception. Deception is a powerful, powerful tool, right? It can be a powerful tool for some people. It's evil, though. Really, as you can see by the destruction and the torment this 7-year-old child faced, that deception is evil. And deception comes from the father of all lies, Satan. Now, I'm going to share with you a little bit something about Satan. Maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't. But the truth is that the devil really doesn't want you to know this. And the fact is that the devil's defeated. He's been defeated for a long time now. And many people don't acknowledge this, but the fact is, it says in 1 John chapter 3 that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And when my God sets out to do something, you know what he does? He does it, right? The devil has been defeated. It says that Jesus holds the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Those were the keys, that was all the devil's power, right there, wrapped up in that. And Jesus stripped him of all of his authority, stripped him of all of his power. He conquered Satan 2,000 years ago on the cross in the resurrection and through the resurrection. Now, why did Jesus defeat the devil? You think about it. What was the purpose? Was it because he had to prove something? He had to prove he was a big shot. He got to see, all the angels up in heaven are making fun of him saying, look, the devil's down there doing whatever he wants. Nana, nana, boo, boo. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? Okay, I'm a big tough guy. I'm going to go take care of it. No, that's not what Jesus did it for. It wasn't for some ego. It wasn't for any other purpose except that he loved you and he wanted you to walk in freedom and not be bound by the devil. He wanted you to walk free from the works of the devil. And so, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, this really states it clear what Jesus did for us. I'll be reading this from the New King James Version. It says this, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, this means that we are flesh and blood, we're human people, we're human beings, he himself likewise shared in the same. Jesus became a human. He humbled himself to our human forms. That had to be a great transition. That must have been terrible. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death. So there's some pronouns right here. Let's break this down. That through death, Jesus, through his death, he, the capital H right there, that is Jesus. Jesus might destroy him, being the devil, who had the power of death. That is the devil, right? Next verse. And release those. Who is those? That's me and you. That's everybody on this earth. That's anybody who believes in Jesus. That release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You and me, all of our lifetime, we have been subject to bondage because of death. Death is really the final result of any power that Satan has over you. It's all death. Sin, it all goes to death. Worry, it all goes to death. That's really all the power the devil has. And Jesus came and freed us from that. He humbled himself to our form and he came and took care of it for you and me. How awesome. How gracious of a Savior. But you don't hear this everywhere. I mean, have you watched a horror movie that has the devil in it? I mean, that's scary stuff. When I was a child, I watched the movie Spider-Man. And I spoke as a child. No, I watched the movie Spider-Man. I got terrible nightmares from it. So I knew right then and there, I'm not a scary movie kind of guy. But my sister forced me to watch one scary movie. And it was called Devil, okay? So why, I don't know why she would do this. Part of her, yeah, I don't know. But she made me watch this movie. And it terrified me. I had nightmares. I was freaked out. I was panicked. It was in New York City, actually, when we watched it. And I remember watching it at like 11 o'clock at night. And you see this powerful devil, and he's doing all these things, and he's taking these people out, and he's having his way, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. And I panicked. I freaked out. I went to my room, and I just spoke in tongues. That's all I knew to do. I'm just speaking in tongues. I'm just like under my sheets, quivering in bed, just, and I'm panicking, and I'm freaking out. It's because I was scared of the devil. But you know what? So many people are scared of the devil. Have you ever heard anybody talk about spiritual warfare before? Let's just talk about this for a second. You hear some funny stories about spiritual warfare. And it's like people are still battling the devil today, even though Jesus took care of the issue. I was listening to while I was over in India, we heard a podcast, and this guy was talking about how he went to a house and had to cleanse out all the demons. And so I was like, okay, this is interesting. And so he talked about, it took him about 2 hours to go around to each and every room. And the way he described it, it's almost as if he was physically battling with the devil in every single room. And the devil is like taking his strength from him, and he's pouring sweat, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. And I'm thinking, why on earth are you doing this with the devil? Spiritual warfare? I walk into the room, I say, Jesus defeated you, get out. That's spiritual warfare. It's not me trying to do something on my own ability. But people, Christians, they build up this big idea of the devil. Back in elementary school, I went to a Christian school back in elementary school, and they wouldn't let you say the word hell. You can't say the word hell. Not in a swearing way, not in a bad way, but just any acknowledgement of the word hell was somehow giving glory to the devil. And so, you know, we talked about people going to heaven, but we never mentioned the hell word. That's off limits. And it's because people are so scared, they're so terrified of this devil that's really been defeated for a long time now. So, the devil was defeated. It's not by you punching out the devil, having a fight. Not all of us have to fight the devil on our own. Jesus took care of it. Christ handled the issue, people. Now we walk around as victors, right? We walk around as victors in life. We walk around as new creations. We have new identities in Christ. We have a relationship with God, our Father. We can call God our Father. How crazy is that? And our spirits are alive forever. So if you think about this, you know, I got saved when I was about 4 years old. And ever since then, the devil, I've known that the devil's been defeated. So I walk around without any problems from the devil, right? I walk around completely fine. You know, I never have anything bad happen to me. You know, nothing ever goes wrong. I've never had somebody say one mean word to me in my life. You know, I live the perfect life. I literally have nothing but joy every single moment of every single day. Amen. Is that anybody's testimony? What? Nobody's raising their hands? Why is that? Why do we still struggle with the devil? It seems kind of absurd. But the truth is, the reason we still struggle with the devil is because of deception. That story I told you at the beginning, it was all about deception. And the devil's purpose in life is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he knows that on his own, coming up against you, if you have the life of Christ on the inside of you, if you have a revelation of your identity in Christ, he can't touch you. He can't do anything to you. But you know what he can do? He can deceive you out of thinking that you have any authority or any power. And that's not where you want to live. That's not a place where you want to be. Have you ever had a conversation with someone? And maybe they're thinking about taking a new job. Maybe they're thinking about starting a relationship. They're starting a new venture in their life. And they've ever been worried about it. And I just remember, I've had several conversations with people like this. And it's on a Sunday morning. And they're saying, I was really worried about this. I was really stressed about this. But as I was in the worship time, I just felt God speak to me. And he said to me, this is right. This is what you should do. And then they talk about it and they say, and all of a sudden I just felt this anointing just flow over me. I just felt, it almost felt like honey just flowing all over me. And it was just the goodness of God. And it was him confirming that this is from me. You need to do this. You need to step out on faith, right? You ever had a conversation like that with somebody? Then you see the person the next Sunday. And they're saying, oh, yeah, I'm so excited. Started my new job this week. It's going great. Everything is just dandy. Everything's going perfect. And they're all excited. And then the next Sunday at church, you really don't see them. And then the next Sunday at church, this is 3 weeks now removed from the situation. And they're like, oh, yeah, that job thing did not work out at all. I really must have missed God on that one. Don't know. It's the weirdest thing. I must have completely missed God because there was no way that job was from God. Right? And you talk, and then I say to them, didn't you feel God for sure confirm the word to you that this was for you? Didn't you feel such a peace about this? Didn't you just tell me a few weeks ago that it was almost as if God was shouting to you that this is what you need to do? Right? That this was his word? And then they say, you know, yeah, I did, but it must have been my own reasoning. Must have been my own thinking. But you want to know what really happened? The devil deceived them. They heard this from God. They heard what God's plan was for them, for the next step, the next thing to do, and the devil talked them out of this. And deception really is the only tool that the devil has for you, against you. It's the only tool he has against you. And if we're going to say deception, let's define it real quick. This isn't your Webster's dictionary definition or anything. But deception is believing a lie as the truth in your life. And that's what the devil wants to do. Because if you know the truth, if you know the truth, it says in John chapter 8, if you know the truth, then the truth shall set you free. You'll walk in victory. You'll walk in freedom. And that word know, there's a lot of different words for know in the Bible. There's some funny ones, but there's one, that word know, it means complete and utter certainty. That if you say it, you know it's a fact. That's what it means. That you know the truth. That if you were to say it today, just as I know that I'm Grayson Judd, I would say that and I would know it. I would know the truth and it would set me free. So many of us, though, we hear the truth. We hear the thing from God. And the devil tries to tell us that's not what the truth is. All my life, I've been a child of my parents, Matt and Susie Judd. Every single day, I walk around my house with authority. I walk around, you know, exercising my authority. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to ask to come and sit at the dinner table. I can flip on the TV if I want. You know, when I'm coming in at night, I don't knock on the door, ring the doorbell, say, hey, can you guys let me in for the night? I just walk in. I do that. Every single day, I've known I was a child. I've walked around with that full right. Except for one time in my life. And it was when I was 7 years old. And it was when I was deceived into thinking I was found in a trash can. Then and there, I doubted my identity. Then and there, I doubted if I was a child of Matt and Susie Judd. Nothing had changed in my position in the family. Absolutely nothing was different. I was still their child. I still had all the authority and right that I had. I had everything. My birth certificate said I still was exactly the same. Not one thing was different about me. But you know what was different? I was deceived into thinking I didn't have what I had. And that's what the devil wants to do in your life. He wants you to deceive you out of what you already have. Because as Christians, as believers in Christ, as new creations with new identities, we have a lot in Christ. There's a story that really, I think, just sums this up perfectly, what it looks like. How many of you guys, have you guys ever seen an elephant before in a zoo? Have you ever seen one in person? Because seeing one on TV doesn't quite do it justice. But elephants are massive creatures. They're huge. They can do some serious damage. While we were in India, we went to a city, one of these villages, and they told us that every year during the summer, that elephants run through this town and people have to hide. They have to get out of the streets or else elephants will just trample them. Wild elephants roam that area. And so they have to, you know, in the winter time they're fine, but in the summer they got to get out of town. They got to hide indoors. They got to get somewhere. Because these elephants are dangerous creatures. They're deadly. They're massive. You know, elephants in the wild, they push over trees. I've seen videos of elephants uprooting trees before. I mean, that takes some power. That takes some force. But if you've ever seen a circus elephant, or some countries, they use elephants for labor. They've domesticated them. That's the word. They domesticated them. And the way that they hold them, right? What kind of enclosure are you going to build to hold an elephant? I mean, he's not going to be held down by a wooden fence if he can uproot a tree. So how are you going to hold an elephant? And if you've ever seen it, all they have attached to them is a little rope around their legs and a wooden stake in the ground. And now it looks ridiculous when you see this elephant. This elephant will walk around in this same little area like a dog with a leash on its neck and just, he won't leave this little area. He could easily pull up this rope and he could snap the wooden peg in half. He could just break that thread it's just a thread. He could break it easily. But it holds him there. It holds him there captive. And it holds in all of his power. It holds him from doing whatever he wants to do. And the reason is because when he was younger, they used to put a chain around his leg. When he wasn't that as strong as he is now as an adult elephant, they used to put a chain around his leg. And they had a metal stake that they would put into the ground. And he would try to pull it out, and he wasn't strong enough back then. He couldn't do anything. It was holding him there. But as he grew up and time went on, you know, he would keep pulling it, and nothing would happen. I mean, it would cut into his leg. It would hurt him. And eventually he got into his mind that when this chain is around my leg, I might as well just sit there or else, you know, I'm useless. I don't have any of my power. I don't have any of my strength. And as he grows up and time progresses, he gets to the point where he can pull the chain off and he can completely snap free of that. But you know what? They don't. They sit there. They had the same mindset that they had when they were younger. They had the same mindset, yeah, I'm trapped here. I'm stuck here. And eventually they don't even put the metal chain on him anymore. They just put a rope around his leg. And just the feeling of the rope on the leg, the elephant in his mind thinks, I'm captive here. I'm trapped here. And really, as believers, we're all elephants. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm an elephant. Now say, you're an elephant.
You're an elephant.
I don't want to cause any troubles with relationships here or anything like that. Let's not do that. But really, we're like this elephant. And maybe, yeah, when we were younger, maybe before we got saved, the devil could do what he wanted in our life. He could have authority in our lives. He could have a place in our lives. But ever since we believed on Christ, ever since the veil was torn and we believed on Jesus, the devil lost all of his authority. But too many times we walk around as if, you know, that little thread can hold us down. And we're trapped in this little area. And we're held bondage. And the devil is stealing and killing and destroying in our lives because he thinks that we're not as powerful as we are. And it's, let me get something straight. It's not you powerful. It's not that you're some mighty warrior for God. It's all what Jesus did for you. It's all what Jesus did for you. But as Christians, we have an immense authority and power. We have immense ability, and it's all through Jesus on the inside of us. And the devil can't have his way in our lives. And so, what does it look like? What if we have victory? What does this look like in our lives? You know, we walk around not necessarily doing everything that we want, doing this, but we walk around living the abundant life that Jesus purchased for us. That's what we do. We walk around in God's plan for our lives. So, if we know the truth and the truth sets us free, if we know our identities in Christ, if we know all that we have, what we can do with it, why do we sometimes get off? You know what I mean? I mean, I get off sometimes. I was thinking about this. Why do I get off in my life? What happens? And it's because of deception. All of us in here, at some point or another, we've been deceived in our life, and probably right now we're deceived about something. And the thing about deception is that it's sneaky, and you don't always recognize it. It's because you're so convinced that little rope around your leg is going to hold you there that you don't even mind it anymore. You just sit down when they bring you to the spot. You know what I'm saying? You've been conditioned to this, that this is your job, and you have nothing you can do there. But the truth is what God says about you. The truth is God's word in your life. God's word is the final authority in our life. Circumstances, situations, things that arise out of nowhere, maybe what people tell you, those are lies. If they don't line up with the word of God, it's a lie in your life. And you're thinking, what are you talking about, Grayson? I've got a bill I got to pay in 2 days. How can that be a lie? You know, I'm having to work 2 jobs right now just to make sure I have enough just to get by. How can that possibly be a lie that I'm supposed to be walking the abundant life? How can it be a lie? You know, this is a very real reality in my life that I have to pay this bill. Well, the truth says about you, the Bible says about you, that God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's the truth in your life. And when you act otherwise, you're acting on deception. You're acting on the devil. You're acting on the devil's words, on his, because really they're the devil's words. It's thoughts he's put into your mind. When you get a bill in the mail, you're thinking, oh, how am I going to pay this one? Even if you've seen God come through in the past, you have that second, you have that thought that passes through your head. Is God going to provide for me this time? What am I going to have to do in my own ability? What am I going to have to do in my own strength? How's it going to work out? And that's all deception from the enemy, because the truth is, you're provided for. God will take care of you if you seek after his kingdom. So, I really want to analyze a story real quick about people in the Bible who are a lot like us. And it's not in the book of Acts. It's not in the book, you know, any of the New Testament. These are people who had the authority here on earth, just like us. And they lost it. Really messed it up for all of us. But let's go back to the Garden of Eden here. We'll start in Genesis chapter 1. How's that sound? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We'll say this. It says this. Then God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. We are made in the image of God." Remember this part right here. This is important. God made us in his image. If God made us in his likeness, then we are like God. That is what Adam and Eve were. God had created all the rest of creation, and on the final day he created man. And he made them to look like him, to act like him, to walk like him, so that he could fellowship with them. And he said, let them, man, let man have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God's saying, here, give them dominion, give them authority, give them power, right? Let them, they can do it. I give them all the authority that I have in this earth, I give it to them. I made them just like me. And so the devil can't do anything in that. He can't just walk around and have his will and do his own things because man has authority. Man has dominion. He can't, his power isn't greater than God's power. You know, he's been, you know, at this point, he can't do anything because they're like you and me. He can't come into them and strike them down with sickness. He can't come into them and kill them and take them out because he doesn't have any authority in their lives. So God created man, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I give you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb of food, and it was so. So the devil sees this. He sees that humans walking around in complete authority and complete power. We had full dominion over the earth because God created the earth for us. He created the earth to be our place so that we could have somewhere to live for fellowship with him. And we had full authority and we had full power. And the devil, his purpose has never changed. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy just as much today as he wanted to back then. And he wanted to steal, kill, and destroy. But how's he going to do it? I'm sure he's thinking around, what am I going to do here? I don't have any place in their life. I don't have any authority. What am I going to do? And he's scratching his head. And he comes up with an idea. And first, we have to see what God instructed man and woman to do. And this is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So as you're here on earth, you can tend to keep the garden. The whole garden's yours. Everything's yours. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the reason God did this is saying, I don't want man to be robots. I don't want to have slaves here. You know, I want them to have a free will. I want them to walk around with me and actually be able to fellowship with me. I want them to choose me. And so God says, everything is yours except for that tree. Keep that apart. Keep it separate. And so the devil sees, here's where I can attack them. I can get them to disobey God. I can get them to bow their knee to me instead of God. I can get them to submit their authority to me so I can actually do something here. Because otherwise, I'm helpless. So he comes up with a plan. And so Genesis chapter 3 tells us of how this goes down. It says, now the serpent, and we know it's not the serpent, it's the enemy over, I don't know all the theology behind this or anything like that, but he's in the form of a serpent. The devil comes, and he's more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And so he comes to Eve, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And notice the first thing he does when he comes up to Eve. He attacks the word of God. He questions the word of God. You've ever been in a situation or a circumstance where for a second you begin to question the word of God? Is it really true? Is it really real? You know, I don't know. And the devil realizes that this is a weak spot. We tend to question things. And so he says, has God really said that you shall you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And so Eve responds in a good way. She gives him the word of God. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. This is exactly what God said to her. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you should die. And right here in this the last part of this sentence, we really see Eve doesn't know the word of God. She doesn't know the word of God. And you're thinking, what? That looks just like it, right? Well, God told Adam and Eve that, look, you guys can, you have full dominion here. Just don't eat of the fruit of this tree. You can go and touch the tree all you want. It doesn't matter. That has no effect on you. You know what? If you want to knock an apple off the tree, go ahead. Just don't eat of the tree. Do whatever you want with the tree. I don't care. It's your garden. Make up your mind. But don't eat of the tree. But here, Eve, she doesn't know the word of God. She thinks she knows the word of God, but she says, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. That's nowhere in God's words to them. Lest you die. Lest you die. And if you look at this, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. If you look at this in the Hebrew, it's really whacked up. It's really off. It translates pretty much the same as it does to on the English about God has said you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. But really, in the Hebrew, the words are completely different. It's completely different verbs. It's completely different adjectives. It's a completely different sentence. And yeah, it gets the general idea across. But she's not really confident in the Word of God. It's not really the truth and the final truth and the absolute truth in her life. So she says this. So yeah, I don't think we're supposed to eat it. You know what? I don't think we're supposed to touch it either. Because if we do, we're going to die. Then the serpent begins to attack the Word of God. This is all about his challenge on God's authority. He says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. And this sounds like good and evil. And this sounds like an enticing offer, right? I want to be like God. That's how the devil got deceived in the first place. He wanted to be like God. And so, you know, Adam and Eve's got to be sitting here thinking, you know, that sounds pretty good. Maybe God is lying to me. Maybe God's word isn't the truth. Maybe God's not actually trustworthy. Maybe God's not faithful. So she begins to question these things. But the truth is, God said back in that first verse I read that he made them in his own likeness. He made them just like him. And so the devil comes and attacks her with something saying, hey, if you want to be like God, this is what you got to do. But God already said, I made you in my image. I made you just like me. Why do you need to go somewhere else and be like me if you already are? And so many times in our lives, the devil says, you got to do this, you got to do that. You got to do these things if you want to get the full provision from the word. If you want to get everything that's provided for in the word, you know, you got to work to get something you've already got. And it's foolishness. It's foolishness because it's already been taken care of by what Jesus did. But the devil's still trying to attack us with those things today. He's still trying to deceive us with those things today. So, what happens here in verse 6? We see a shift in Eve. We see a shift here where she really begins, she's deceived. And it says here in verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And here's the deception. The lie that the devil told her, that this was going to make you like God, you're going to know good from evil, that it will make you wise, it suddenly became the truth in her life. And she began to act on that instead of the truth which she had already been told. And look, something happens here. Because the tree is, instead of being this poison in the garden, instead of this being the thing that is off limits, the thing we're not supposed to touch, this thing that we're not supposed to go near, as she told the devil originally that it was, it suddenly is now good for food. How does that make any sense? You know, that it's pleasant to the eyes? What does that mean? That it's desirable to make one wise? If I handed you rat poison, if I handed you some kind of poison, it doesn't matter what kind of decorated box I put it in, it doesn't matter what I did to it, you're not going to be drinking it, right? Because it's going to make you die. You shall surely die. Something happens in her. She gets so deceived to the point that she looks at this tree and says, hey, that looks like some good fruit. You know, I don't think she was, when she was eating the apple, whatever the fruit was, when she's eating it, I don't think she's like, you know what? I'm going to disobey God right now and I'm going to ruin it for Grace and Judd and everybody else in the world. And then she takes a bite. That's not what she's thinking about. She's thinking, man, this fruit is going to be really good for me. It's going to do a lot of good in my life. It's going to make me just like God. This fruit, you know, and she enjoyed it probably. But you know what? That fruit led to death. Maybe it wasn't immediate, but death, sin entered into the world. And when she began to act on what the devil said, she put her trust in the devil. And she gave it to Adam and she said, hey, you know, and it even talks about later on in the Bible that Adam wasn't actually deceived. He just, he went along with Eve. But even being around the deception, even being around this, if you don't act on God's word, if you act on what the devil has planted in other people, if you act on something you've heard from somebody else and you act on that as your truth instead of the word of God, you still have the same fate as the people who are deceived. So she eats the fruit, they eat the fruit, and suddenly they realize, oh, we messed up big time here. Really messed it up. Shouldn't have done that. They see the consequences. They see that God's word, you know what? It doesn't matter what they were thinking. It doesn't matter how they were acting. God's word actually was true. And death entered the world. Sin entered the world. And that's why Jesus had to come for you and me, is because death entered the world and it had power over us and it crippled us. And it, growing up in life, you know, we live in a fallen world, a world full of death. I mean, if you've seen anything in the news in the past few days, I mean, it's just, there's some terrible stuff going on in the world. Bad things are happening in the world. We live in a world surrounded by death, and we're so conditioned that this is the way you're supposed to live. You're supposed to live in poverty. Nobody has enough these days. That's why we need to get, you know, that's why these presidents are running, because they have the plan to save the world. You know, that this is the reason we have governments, because it's going to make it better for everybody. Because we're trying to eliminate the poverty, and we're trying to eliminate the lack, and we're trying to eliminate the sickness, and this and that, and all these other things. But the truth is, those things that you've been conditioned to, those are all lies. They're lies from the devil. And the truth is, you are a conqueror in Christ. The truth is, any scheme of the devil, any stealing, killing, and destroy that's going on in your life, you're a victor over that. You're a conqueror in Christ. And when you begin to believe that and act on that as the truth, the devil has no place in your life. He can't hold you down with any strings anymore. You know, you just snap that string and you walk on going into God's plan for your life. That's what you do. Because that's when you know the truth, that's when you get set free. When you know it with certainty. So don't let anybody ever talk you out of the Word of God. Because that's the final authority in your life. No matter what you're going through, maybe your circumstances, your situations, maybe you've had it in the past where you've been feeling like you believe in God, you feel like you've been trusting God, and something didn't happen, something didn't work out. That doesn't change the Word of God. Your experiences, your problems, your trials, and your tribulations, hallelujah, they don't change the Word of God. They don't change the Word of God in my life. They don't. But the thing is, when you're going through something, the devil tries to bring it in, hey, maybe God's word isn't true. Hey, maybe it's true for everybody else around you, but it's not for you. It's not for you. Why would God do this for you? You know, you're not worth anything to him. You're worthless to him. You know, he sent Jesus for everybody else, all the other 7 billion people on the planet except you. You know, it sounds ridiculous, right, when I say it right here, but the devil, he's good at his job. He'll sneak it in. It'll just be a little thought. You know, as you're getting the mail, you're thinking, oh, there's going to be a bad bill in here. Oh, how am I going to pay it? What am I going to do? You know, you're thinking maybe God's, you know, it comes through just as a fiery dart. And so the truth is today that you are a conqueror in Christ. And the way that we are free from any deception of the enemy is really laid out clearly in Ephesians. And I'll wrap this up right here. This is the final thing. If we recognize our identity in Christ, we walk free. Let me say this clearly. If you know your identity in Christ without a shadow of a doubt, that is the absolute truth, that what absolute truth in your life, that what God has said about you is the truth, the devil has no place in your life. He can't even bring deception into your life like he did Adam and Eve. Because you know the Word of God. You know the Word of God. Whenever a circumstance comes up, whenever a situation comes up, somebody tells you something, you compare it to the Word of God. And if it doesn't match up, it's a lie. It may be there, it may be an actuality, but you know what? God's faithful to his word, and his word will come through. And so, I want to read this real quick. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't try to be fighting the devil on your own, because that's just stupid. That's just dumb. Why would I waste my time? Can you imagine? World War II. You know, the Allied forces, they defeat the Axis. Can you imagine if a soldier is still out there on the front lines trying to take out Germans, just ran, you know, on his own, trying to go out there on the whole by himself, defeating the Germans, you know, in the, like, the 1970s or 1980s, you'd be like, what's that guy doing? Why is he fighting a battle that's already been won? Why is he struggling? Why is he doing this? It's already been taken care of. But that's what we do in our lives. And just as foolish as that scene would look, and it would probably be on some news story about, look at this idiot, what's he doing? That's what we do on a day-to-day basis. We try to fight the devil in our own ability, in our own power, when he's already been taken care of. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. These are the schemes of the devils. The plan of the devil. His plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. Put on the whole armor of God. This armor of God will protect you against anything he's got. And it's not an armor that you're putting on in your own ability, your own strength. It's the armor Jesus purchased for you. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Those circumstances, those things that are going on around out here, we're not worried about them. We know what the source of those are. Either it's from the devil or it's from God. And when it's from the devil, I walk in victory over that. If it's from God, I keep going with it. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And those, you know, it says a bunch of things right there. Those are all the forces of the devil. He's coming at you with those things, trying to deceive you, trying to make you not walk in all that you have in Christ. But there's an easy defense to this. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. This is an interesting thing. The first line of defense against any attack from the enemy, any deception from the enemy, is the truth. It's the truth. All of this, it all goes back to truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, I put on who I am in Christ, what I have, and what I can do through Jesus. Well, I put on the finished work at the cross every single day, and the devil can't get through that. There's no way he gets through that. He's been defeated. He's been taken care of. And having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, I put on the gospel of peace, the power of God unto salvation. Every step I take, I walk in the power of God unto salvation. I walk in complete peace, every circumstance, every trial I'm facing. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. The fiery darts of the wicked one, we know what those are. Those are thoughts. You ever felt a thought just pop right through your head? And you're thinking, oh, how's it going to work out? That's the devil's tool. He's got fiery darts. He's launching them all day. It's deception all day. He's launching it. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on what you know is the truth. Take up the shield of faith. Take up the truth. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Amen. And it talks about being an ambassador for Christ. That's what we are. I just like throwing that in there. That you're an ambassador for Christ. But put on the whole armor of God today. Because if you have the armor of God on, you're free. You're free. You walk in freedom when you have on the armor of God. You're free from the wiles of the enemy. Jesus gave his life, not just so you could go to heaven, but that when you're walking through this earth, you don't have to walk around unprotected. He gave you power and authority to live an abundant life. He gave it to you, so put it on. Why would you leave home? I taught a lesson with the kids the other night about the armor of God. And I said, you know, I was telling them about people at my school. And I was telling them that they went to school naked. And all the kids flipped out at me. Right? If you don't want your kids hearing naked, I'm sorry that I did that. But I did it. And they were like, what are you talking about? They got all freaked out. And I said, yeah. No. Of course, they were wearing clothes. But spiritually, they walk around without the armor of God on. They were walking around completely naked on the inside. They didn't have any idea who they were in Christ. So that when those fiery darts of the devil came, when that deception came, oh, they took it up. That must be the truth in my life. And they substituted the things of the devil for the things of God. And what was the end result? Just like the result in Adam and Eve's life. It was death. It was death. The devil was able to steal, kill, and destroy. Because instead of yielding themselves to God and putting their trust in his word, they turned over here and said, oh, maybe God isn't going to be able to do this. Maybe God's not, it's not his timing. It's not his will in this situation. And they turned themselves to the devil and said, hey, you know what? Maybe you got something for me. Maybe, you know, I don't know if I trust in God here. Everything not done in faith is sin. Everything not done in faith leads to death. Everything not done in faith in the word of God is putting your faith in the devil. And we all know where that ends. Death. So today, Don't be walking around thinking, I'm free from deception. You know, I've got it all together. You know, I'm impenetrable to deception. That's one of the first mistakes you can make. All of us are, it's really easy for us to step into deception. It'll just happen. It'll come up slowly, and then you don't even realize, and you're believing a lie as the truth. Find out what the Word of God says today. Put on the full armor of salvation. Find out your righteousness. Find out your identity. Find out who you are, what you have, what you can do. Find out what God says about you and what He wants you to do with your life. And when you put all that on, oh, you'll walk in the victory. When you put all that on, the devil won't have any place in your life. There'll be no room for deception. So today, tonight, when you go home, this week, be aware of the deception of the enemy. Because it's going to come. He's always looking to steal, kill, and destroy. He's walking around seeking out who he can devour, but he's not going to be able to devour everybody. He can't do anything to you if you're wearing the full armor of God. He's seeking out the people he can mess with. Don't be one of those people. Know who you are. Amen? Don't be trying to fight a battle Jesus won. Walk in the victory he purchased for you. Walk in the abundant life he purchased for you. And because it's going to be so much more fulfilling, so much more rewarding than believing one of those other lies that lead to death. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and pray and close this up. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is, oh, it's life. It's life unto us. Your word is the truth. All of us in here tonight, we purpose that your word is the truth and the absolute authority in our lives. We look to your word as our God. We look to your word as the final authority in our lives. We trust in your word above all else. And when we trust in your word, when we trust in who you are, when we find our identities in the word, we walk in the victory. We walk in all that Jesus intended for us to walk in. So this week, we're going to be vigilant. We're going to be aware of the deceptions of the enemy. We're going to be aware of all the things he's trying to bring our way. And we know that the enemy is defeated. We know that you have the keys. You took him, you stripped him of all of his authority. We know that the devil is defeated. It says one day that all the nations will look at the devil and say, this is he? This is him who deceived us? This is he who deceived the nations? How did this guy do anything? Today we recognize the devil for all he is. He's defeated. So we place him under our feet and don't give him any authority in our lives. We submit to you, God. We submit to you. We resist the devil. He flees, and we submit to you. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to you. We seek your kingdom. We seek your righteousness. And when we do, we walk in the abundant life you intended for us to have. Thank you for the identity that Jesus purchased for me on the cross. Thank you that my spirit can become alive through his resurrection power. Thank you for all that. Thank you for all that you've given me. Today, tomorrow, the next day, I trust you at your word. Even when I'm faithless, you are faithful under your word. You're faithful under me. You're faithful unto me. Thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.